numerology is a system of ancient codes found in our birth information that gives insight to the lessons we each must learn in this lifetime. Elizabeth Summers is a medium and esoteric numerologer offering her knowledge of ancient wisdoms to help fellow travelers towards a more enlightened and peaceful path. Join her now for the magical world of numbers.
Well, hi, and good evening, everyone, and thanks for visiting with me again in the magical world of numbers. I am your host, Elizabeth Summers. I'm an esoteric numerologer, which is a fancy word that says I combine ancient spiritual codes, astrology, and tarot, all the ancient spiritual formats and tools, combine them all together to give you as much understanding about you, where you're going, who you are as soul, when I do my work for my clients. And so know that this evening I'm going to continue chatting with you about the number one, the letter J, and some good karma, and what is karma? Hello. And so before we get to that discussion, I want to just bring in again, start the show with a little bit of astrology. And of course, all over the news, everybody knows we are in a lunar eclipse, which is the blood moon, and on and on and on. And the ancients, when the blood moon came around, it always indicated wars, it indicated uprisings, and everyone got really pretty fussy. For us, it's just kind of pretty to look at. But a full moon is always a time of completion, of endings, of letting go. And even on a very deep subconscious level, if there are fears or blocks that you perceive might be holding you back in some fashion, know that the information is very deep in your subconscious, and let it go. Make up your mind. No, this is a new day, and I am not letting anything hold me back, and choose to just release it into the white light of Mother, Father, God. And so an eclipse is three times that of a full moon. So those that are in the sign of Cancer, whether it's your sun sign, rising sign, ascendant sign, and maybe some of you don't know which one of those goes in there, Cancerians are ruled by water. They're a water sign. And, of course, the moon rules a water and pulls on the human body. And so difficulty sleeping can be an issue, not just for Cancerians, but particularly any water sign or any sign such as Pisces or Aquarius. Those energies are more what personally I call floaters. They're like holding a little cloud in your hand, actually. But no, be gentle with yourself. This will subside. Now, eclipses run in pairs, and we are starting a whole new round of them. Aries, which is in Aries now, and Scorpio, which will be the solar eclipse coming towards the end of the month, of new beginnings, of new starts, of bringing in the new energy, because you left all the old energy drift off into spirit. On top of all of that, we are just putting our big toes into the Mercury retrograde that I talked to you about last week, and I'm going to just finish up a little bit with that connected to romance. Mercury retrograde goes on clear until about the 25th of October, and then we have a mopping up period. But again, I tell you, and I have told you, that about 2 weeks before the actual begin day, which for this one was October 4th, the pre-time is giving you big clues as to what the issues are going to be that you will be dealing with. I had that experience. I always have that experience 2 weeks before. My observations are in high tune. Is it the car? Is it the refrigerator? Is it the computer? I'm checking. And sometimes one can just sail right through the whole situation. But I'm noticing that as I get past that first 2 weeks and kind of just keep gently moving through the Mercury retrograde period, which is about 3 weeks, then things begin to subside. Oh, we have a wrinkle here, there, and everywhere, but they begin to subside. Nothing that cannot be handled. And so today I am going to chat with you about romance and the Mercury retrograde and the do's and don'ts. This is going to tie in a lot with my talking about the number one, which is what I'm going to be talking about most of October, and its relationship situations. So let's look at the positive first. During a Mercury retrograde, which can create all sorts of communication screw-ups, plans can go topsy-turvy, not to mention romantic and love moves as well. So certain love issues are good to be done during a Mercury retrograde during this three-week cycle. So let's just see what they are. During a Mercury retrograde is a good time to reassert your vows and your devotion to your love life or your married life. Take time, if this shoe fits your foot, to be alone with your loved one as much as possible, to enjoy each other's company, but do not initiate any moves. Like a little bit of togetherness is kind of cool. Do take time to mend fences with your partner during this retrograde period. Get rid of any resentments and try to make amends with him or her. And this is a really good time for reconciliation. Everyone's going to be, well, let's think this over. Let's rethink this. But you need patience. Patience is the big issue for everybody on every level during a Mercury retrograde. Okay, the computer glitches itself up. A little patience, but on that subject, I'll tell you something. Call in Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael is fabulous at fixing computers in quirky ways, but I have had so much luck with Archangel Michael fixing the computer. Years ago, I was doing an event, a fair up in Fort Collins, and I had my booth all set up, and the astrologer was beside me, and she could not get her computer going. She tried everything, she just this and that and the other thing. And I said, no, we're going to call in Archangel Michael, and we did, and that puppy turned right on. The guy is really good at helping with computers and electronics. Patience during a retrograde. You know, if you had a previous breakup with your partner, now's the time to extend a little olive branch. Try to maybe rekindle an old last flame. You know, look up maybe some of your lost loves in your life if you want to. Some of us, we never want to see their faces again. Thank you very much. But if there's someone who's still tugging in your memory bank, you know, give them a jingle. I think you could revisit your ideas of what makes you happy during this time. What brings you pleasure? Some of us, it's shopping. Some of us, it's cooking or entertaining or dancing or partying. What makes you happy as far as pleasure goes? Now, some things, please, do not do in this category during Mercury retrograde. At any cost, do not get married during a Mercury retrograde. And if that comes up and you don't know what it is, call me. You can Google it. Do not. Because this is a time when promises can be broken very easily, can get very screwed up, can go awry. Everything might be in the very beginning running very smoothly between you and your partner, but something creepy can just kick right in there. So be very cautious. And those of you who are planning weddings down the road, do find out when the Mercury retrograde is. And another astrological issue is try, not to get married any other time of the year during a void, of course. It's when the moon, that's in a sign every 2.5 days, it is kind of switching and moving into the next sign, and it's a weak point. It goes on sometimes for a day and a half, sometimes a couple hours. It depends. But the void, of course, is like a black hole. Well, who wants to get married during a black hole time? No void, of course, no Mercury retrograde. Do not pursue a new love route during this time. It would land you in deep waters. That Match.com, that eHarmony or whatever, I'd give it a rest. Pick it up after October 25th. Now, it might be ultimately, you got to do it, but be very, very cautious. You would not get the right, correct picture of the other person during a Mercury retrograde. Things would be blurred, if you will. Do not try to break up with your loved one during a Mercury retrograde. Oh, get a little fussy. No breaking up. I know it's hard to do, but no breaking up. Divorce proceedings during a Mercury retrograde are strictly to be avoided. Don't start anything. Be patient. Don't push during a Mercury retrograde. No divorce. And if it gets stalled, perfect. Let it get stalled until afterwards. There's a big strain that would come to you during a divorce proceeding or some big breakup that would be really tough, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. It's a little toughy, so I would just like be cool for the month of October to a large degree. Your resolve in getting things done can be really tested during a Mercury retrograde. So be sure that you avoid a distrusted person who's been trying to get your attention. And something doesn't feel right. Something's just not there. Pay attention. Going back to Match.com, eHarmony, and all of that, do not go out on a first date during a Mercury retrograde. Now, I know some of you are just chomping at the bit to do that, and go ahead, but careful. Try not to go out on a first date during a Mercury retrograde. So wait until that goes direct, then initiate new moves. And you'll feel more confident, and I think things will flow a little bit better. You could be caught in the wrong foot of the situation that you venture into unknown territory, and then what's going to happen? Why to start things when everything is potentially cattywampus? And an astrologer, and when my clients come to me for their readings, I always look at their astrology. If you can find out in what house your Mercury was when you were born, that house is what generally will cause you some issues in most Mercury retrogrades. That sounds a little complicated. An astrologer could help you, and I certainly can help my clients who come for readings. And so, just to review, we're done with the Mercury retrograde. Just to review, let's take a few thoughts about the number one. The number one is called the downstroke of God. It is though a mother, father, God, hand up in the air, and then brings the hand from over the head, down energy to the base of the foot. The downstroke of God, the new beginnings, bringing energy into one's life, into humanity, the downstroke of God. The number one, and every number has its pros and cons. Good side, negative side. Introvert, extrovert. And what's interesting in esoteric numerology is the word introvert and extrovert is totally opposite than it is in psychology. The number one, which is very assertive and aggressive and pioneering and strong-willed and innovative, is actually called an introvert in numerology. Someone who goes within is not out there seeking advice and guidance. They will go within, they'll go off by themselves. It's just the opposite of what you would think in psychology an introvert would be. It's a very masculine number. It's ruled by the sun. Sometimes people who have a lot of ones in their chart also have either a lot of Aries or a lot of Leo significantly in their chart. But the buzzwords for the number one are courage and leadership and independence and achievement. Well, you say, how could that be a problem? But it can be, because they have a lot of bravado, which is actually a shield for their lack of self-esteem and their own self-consciousness and their belief, their struggle to believe in their higher self. They need to learn, anyone who has the number one, whether it is your birthday 1, 10, 19, 28, which we'll be addressing all throughout October, or if your life lesson is a number one, it's about to learn all these things and overcome a lot of the negative connected to the number one. But the real challenge is to have courage and be determined. So this temperament is potentially a little bullheaded, a little bit of get out of my way, follow me, I'm not following you. If it is one's birthday number, their temperament, your birthday number is really important because it gives insight as to your personality, gives insight as to your temperament, and certain temperaments are more compatible with other ones. Now, the number one temperament sometimes can get along with almost everybody, except some temperament hookups are better than others. So the lesson that a number one is here to learn is best hooked up in the right environment. They seem outrageously courageous and adventurous, but they really are shy. It's like a recessive gene almost. They really withdraw within themselves. And so the lesson for anyone who's number one is to seek to be in the right environment for their growth in their relationship so that their strengths can thrive. They don't take advice easily. They're very sensitive to other people's criticisms. They have difficulties in relationships. A lot of times, number ones will marry partners that they can boss around, but they get bored with that, and then the whole relationship goes kaput. So, a number one personality is best suited to someone who is a very grounded number four personality. Fours are stable, they're very A to B, B to C, C to D, or someone who is an eight. A head honcho of some sort, an administrator, an executive. They can meet each other on somewhat of an intellectual plane and not necessarily mushy-mushy, romantic sort of line. Doesn't mean it's not there, but there are more practical applications that the number one kind of sort of likes. It's much better for a one to be hooked up with a four or an eight temperament than, say, with a two. Someone whose birthday number adds to a two. The twos are very timid. They're followers. Their gentility can get misinterpreted as weakness. And the number one says, I am tired of telling you what to do, of leading you around by the, would you please show some initiative? Well, the number two is a gentle soul, loves partnerships, and will become codependent on the number one leader. Another one is for the number one to not necessarily hook up in a balanced way is anyone who has a number nine temperament. These are the idealistic dreamers. They are very emotional, creative, humanitarian. Doesn't mean it's not in there. So anyone who is hooked up with this mismatch that I just talked about, do not panic. But each of you is going to work out your own strengths through the relationship, if you will. So what's important to anyone who has a number one birthday number, who has a life lesson, if you add your month? I had a client today. Month, day, and year of birth together, and it adds to a number one. Everything that I'm talking about in October is your life path number, is your lesson to learn. And if it's a 10-1, that amps it up big time, which I'll get to talk in a moment. What's important to the number one? And I'm reviewing this and laying down the groundwork. It's because we're going to amp it up when we talk about the number 10. What's important to the number one is approval. They have to have approval, especially from their partners, especially in the environment. If they don't, it becomes counterproductive, and they continue to lack self-confidence within themselves because they are depending upon the other person to validate them, and that is not what it's about. The other person can't. We cannot use another person. That creates one of the other four nasty karma codes, which I'll talk about sometime, of usury, of manipulation and usury, to have that other person validate you to make you feel good about you. Well, what's that about? They prefer to work alone. They like exploring. They like trying new things, but they're not physical laborers. They work on a mental plane. So the creative one, and they are wonderfully creative, especially if the birthday number is a 10. They are pioneers. They need to learn to handle finances well, which is a money issue, and to just stay focused on what is good for themselves first, then their children, then their partners, then community, and some people will extend it and hop on a plane and go to Bangladesh and help those folks universally. So keep in mind the independence, the leadership, the initiative, the drive, and it is a mental number. Not that the people who have it are mental, but the number vibration is mental. When a person is out of balance, mentally out of balance, energetically out of balance, it can create some physical issues. There is a very good book that I will put on my blog. Be sure you go to my blog on the Magical World of Numbers. I'm posting a lot of information on there helping, turns out, a lot of people, which I'm honored and humbled by. But I want you to keep in mind that health is very connected to the emotional and mental state of a person. And a very good book, which I'll post on my blog, is by Lise Bourbeau. It's called Your Body's Telling You, Love Yourself. Love Yourself. And in there, and a huge index in the back, a whole list of hundreds of ailments that she explains the emotional and the mental issues of the subconscious that energy is being turned inward in your body and needs to be released. And she may help you nail some of your issues. I know it helped me with a physical issue that I was dealing with. And this book was put in my hands. I read it. She nailed it. I cleared it. And I was done with that issue in about a week. So look on my blog. I will post this for you. I highly recommend it. I use it with many of my clients. Now, before we go to a little break, two things that I want to say. Number one, I hope to do some mini readings for anyone who wants to call in for a little 2-3 minute reading, and I'll do that after the break. The call-in number is 347-855-8628. Let me repeat that for you. 347-855-8628. And on the other side of the break, I'll give you some guidance as to what information you are to give me to do that reading. Real quick, I just want to tell you, talking about the number one, that house numbers, the single number of the house number that is yours. And if you live in an apartment complex, the apartment number applies just as a house number does. And so take your house number and add it down and get a single number. I have a booklet on my website in the store section. You can see it on the black bar, on the toolbar, that you can order, very inexpensive, that will give you all the house numbers, no matter what house number you're in, apartment number. But tonight we're talking about one. So when someone lives, everyone who lives in that house number, the number carries the vibration. You write it, you say it, you think it. That is energy, energy, energy. And it envelops the vibration of that property. And so a house number, anyone who lives in the house number one is for independent, self-reliant people. This is not a Mickey Mosey vibration. And the house number really encourages people to be determined and to have integrity where they live. It is really excellent for someone who is very creative, has a lot of uniqueness in their creativity, if you will. But they need to learn to follow their intuition, their inner voice to guide them. Now, every number, and a house number applies to, has its challenge. So it's the number one. You know, we're not necessarily talking about homey, cozy partnerships here. Doesn't mean you can't have a happy marriage or happy relationship, but it's going to require an understanding of the individuality of that vibration in that house. So a person can kind of feel alone in a one house, feel as though they're in there all by themselves. And so, no, that patience is really the challenge. A challenge is excellent for someone who has a home office business where they are the CEO, working on their computers, they're working alone. It is their business. They can be working with finances, especially if the 10 one is involved here. And so I thought you might find it interesting tonight to learn that your house number has a vibration connected to it. And if you want to know more, then just go to the store on my website, the toolbar, and check out the house numbers booklet. Really interesting, and I tell you, just fascinating how accurate it is vibrationally. So let's take a quick break here. Remember, if you want a mini reading, 347-855-8628, and we'll be right back. Well, we all just took a little breather there. And very quickly, I'm going to give you some information about when you call in, when I open up your mic, I will identify you by your area code. And come on quickly, know that I need three things: your first and middle name, your month and day of birth, and how old you are. Now, if I need more information for what I see or something, I will, I'll tell you then. But those three things, very quickly, I'm going to be talking about what year you are in, and we go in nine-year cycles, and I'm going to identify for you what year you're in your current nine-year cycle. What is the theme? If I see some tarot interpretation for you, I'll tell you that too. I talk very quickly. You will not be able to write fast enough to keep up with me. The information comes quickly. So, month, day, and year, month and day of birth, first and middle name, age, and our first caller. I'm turning on the mic for an area code 970. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Well, I was able to hear that someone was there, but maybe they couldn't hear me. So let's go to area code 949. Opening the mic, and you are on the air, 949.
Hi, Elizabeth. It's Renee Ann. And can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Renee Ann,
okay,
is it
good.
With an E? Is it with an E?
Yes.
Or it's with an E? Okay.
It's Renee, R-E-N-E, and
okay,
Ann, no E at the end.
Oh, no E at the end. Oh, okay. That tells me something else. So then, month and day of birth.
It's 11/28, and I am 54.
54.
Years old.
I understand.
Next month.
Okay, so you're going to be 54, but the energy is already coming in here for sure. And you are Sagittarius, correct?
I'm
going
to be 55, yes, next month.
So you're going to be 55. All right, I'm going to do that reading for 55. Now, for everyone who's listening, that's 55 years of age. That's a very important age. There are what are called age digits in esoteric numerology, and they're like 55 is one of them. The last one was 46, the previous one 37, and your next one will be 64. And it is always a time of new beginnings, but it's like a farmer planting seeds. You know, it's not harvest time. So 55, very important. It's going to be doubly important for you at the beginning of 2015 and then all of 16 and 17 because Saturn, Marine Corps drill instructor in the universe, is going to be moving into Sagittarius and it's going to be rock and roll. That's all I can say, rock and roll, not a bad thing. A lot of times when Saturn is in a sign and it's going to be in Sagittarius for 2.5 years, it starts in Sagittarius this year, December 23rd, and then mid-June, and it says, you know, I have a couple things to straighten out in Scorpio, and it turns around and goes back into Scorpio for 6 weeks, and then it's done. The Scorpios are out of the woods. Major changes have happened in their lives. And the cool thing is, when Saturn leaves a sign, it always brings a gift. So there could be some good yummies coming to Scorpios by the end of 2015. Then Sagittarius. Well, I see good things here because you are at age 55, new beginnings, new starts, just from your age. You are in year one. At age 55, of a brandy new nine-year cycle. Brandy new. And it's a good energy. There'll be a sense of deja vu. You're going to find either an old idea or someone from the past enters into your life that gives you maybe a heads up, but it's very good. It's a new beginning, laying down a new foundation in your life, and know that the month of November itself can be a little stressy. Just don't even worry about it. Get through it. It is bringing to you emotional choices that you have to deal with. But also know that on the other hand, there is expansion and opportunity for you. I think November and December are going to be quite potentially very good, very opportunistic career-wise. When you get over to January, February, new beginnings, new starts, you're going to have lots of choices in January. Choices in January. Total reevaluation of your life in February. And I see for you the big month is going to be March. March is going to be a month of out with the old, growth into the new. It's like going from a blonde to a redhead. It's going to be that big. So know that the year that's coming up, it's not going to be as fussy, as difficult emotionally as the year that is finishing. Uh-huh. The combination that's finishing was, it certainly had some stress connected to it. And you had some finishing up that needed to do. And it was rather dramatic, I would assume, emotionally difficult and dramatic. But that's weakening now, and the sun's coming out. You are in a 10-1 year, so I suggest that you listen to what I'm going to be talking about, because I'm going to be talking about 10-1, and 10-1 is your year that you're moving into, and it's the wheel of good fortune. So you go.
Yay.
Girl. Yay.
Okay.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, we're talking about that 10-1. Let's go here and give some additional information about this good karma number. When the digit 0, keep in mind, O is a letter. 0 is a numeral. People keep interchanging the X. Now, O is a letter, 0 is a numeral. It is representative of the God force. It is powerful when it appears in a reading, when it appears in certain formulas in a reading. It indicates an old soul that I'm talking to, doing a reading for. And the 0 is like a big, strong battery, a Delco battery that's sitting on a shelf. And it has all this power and has all this energy connected to it, but it's just sitting there. It has to be connected to something in order for it to really do what it's come to do, to really exert its power, to really supercharge. And when a 0 is attached to a single digit, 1 through 9, it supercharges it. It's very powerful, very exciting. People who have a number 10 birthday number are very creative. They're very, they have a lot of drive, a lot of initiative. But that 0 is the God force energy, and that's where all creativity is. So when that creativity of the God force vibration hooks onto the intellectual of the number 1, sparks fly. I mean, everything gets amped up big time. The 0 has power, powerful meaning, powerful energy, if you will. It is, in tarot cards, the wheel of good fortune, 9 times out of 10. Not 10 out of 10. 9 times out of 10. When the wheel of fortune appears in my formulas, when I'm doing calendar readings for my clients, usually they have a flow of finances. They will be dealing with money. They will be dealing with finances. And if they have worked in a disciplined way, if they have taken their power, there is financial gain, prosperity that comes to them. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and win the lottery. But it does say that money can come in, opportunity can come in, and it can go out, but it comes in and it goes out. It is excellent. So there's this kind of a destiny that's connected to the Wheel of Fortune. There is a weaving, if you will. Things can open the doors. There's strokes of luck. There's opportunity. Destiny steps in. Fate steps in. That zero is the God force that's bringing to you. It can move people when the wheel of good fortune, and I hope Renee Ann's listening, when the wheel of good fortune is the year that a person is in, which Renee Ann is going to be in here now. It's already started for her, actually. She's going to move in a totally different direction, especially in March. Things are going to have a change in your fortune, change in the course of your life. It is really, 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 really good. Now, speaking of really, really, really good, 10, which adds to a 1, 10 is a good karma number. When I have clients sitting in front of me and I see in their chart certain karma codes, and I say to them, here's some karma. Well, they get pale. I mean, you would think I told them they were going to die, which I would never do. Nothing is to be feared as karma. My concept of karma is that it is the loving mercy of God giving us a second chance. Here's another book. I'll post it on my blog for you. A wonderful book that was gifted to me called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. It is really excellent, and I'm going to talk more about it in November. Excellent to help understand what happens when a soul transitions, goes into spirit, what it's like there. Yes, I have a lot of deeper, heavier, esoteric books that I could recommend to you, but this is so nicely written, easily written, and enjoyable. I mean, I can't put this book down. It's just easy reading. Well, anyway, this is an author who is a writer, and she had a brother that she dearly loved, and he must have been a real hooligan. He must have been a whippersnapper, and he died in an accident and moved into spirit, and then began to talk to her, began to transmit to her, and after she got through the shock of all of that, she began to write what he talked to her about, and he talked about karma. He said in this particular chapter, he said that he thought he had a debt to be paid. It really wasn't a debt. He said that life and his debt, that he called it, was really a learning thing. Hold that thought, a learning thing. Karma is not a punishment. That's why people get so scared. Oh, my Lord, karma. Oh, and there are some nasty ones out there that I talk to people about and I'll be talking to you about. But remember, it is the mercy of God that says, you know, you kind of sort of were a major screw-up in another lifetime. You have free will. I tried to tell you. You didn't listen. You didn't watch for the signs. And you made some choices that weren't exactly spiffy-doodle. Now those choices come back at us environmentally, emotionally, as a learning tool. Okay, here it is again. Now, are you going to choose the same thing again, or are you going to wise up, I'm giving you all the understanding of it, and simply make a different choice? People are not on earth to be punished. It is not about sin. It is not about punishment. Those are human being constructs. Fear. They are control issues by organizations that attempt to manipulate and control people into their way of thinking. You did not come to human experience in order to be punished. No, nothing is a sin. That's a human word. Are there choices that are not according to the universal laws of God? Yes. Yes. And that's what your soul constantly brings to you to straighten up. These concepts of punishment are a human being concept. There is no sin in spirit world. There is only love, conditional love, and spiritual growth. And so humans made up this stuff to scare the heck out of people. And the word karma, which is Sanskrit, was a Sanskrit word, is simply saying, use your free will. For instance, it's all about choices. Choices. If you've handled your money, which is power, which is an energy, that energy, that good energy is going to come back at you. What you put out boomerangs back, and it comes back and it's expanded. It's expanded. So karma like this. It's a free will choice. For instance, I don't eat chocolate. How would I know that I don't like chocolate if somewhere along the line I probably overdosed on it? And because of the behaviors that it turned on me, the choices that it forced me into making, the illness or the sickness or the whatever that came as a consequence of my experiencing too much chocolate, I don't eat chocolate now, but that's my choice. But if I never had that experience, which is the karmic experience, if I never had that experience about chocolate, how would I know? How would I know that my body doesn't like chocolate? I now resort to gummy bears. Chocolate is off the table because I experienced something that I made up my mind I didn't want to experience anymore, and a different choice. That is all that it is about. I want you to think of money, which is connected to the number 10-1. Money is simply an energy. It's an energy. It is a spiritual situation. It is a spiritual idea. And you say, oh, yeah, right, you know, I wished I had some in my pocket. Money didn't make itself. It has nothing to do with anything other than energy. It is the law of cause and effect. If you think of energy, of money, and you put thought behind it and acquire a money consciousness, this is going to work for you. This may seem very material, but the true idea of money is not material. It is spiritual. And we need to make ourselves comfortable with it. Some people are afraid of money, of handling money. And that goes back to past lifetimes. There is guilt involved where they maybe mishandled it inappropriately. And now here we are in a new lifetime and new opportunities are coming. And they're afraid, and that fear, that doubt is blocking the abundant flow of the universe to them. So we can never really create financial gain and flow in our lives if we do not have a positive money consciousness. We have to put thought behind the abundance. For instance, let's think of electricity. Electricity is an energy. You can't see it, but you know it's there. Electricity is an energy, just like money is an energy flow. So you think, I want to turn on a light. You've put thought, I want to turn on a light, the lights, and then you get up out of the chair and you put effort and energy and movement behind your thought, and then you flick on the switch, which is the energy of abundant flow, and you have lights. But if you didn't think it first and put action behind it and focus on it, you would never have turned on those lights. It's as simple as that. And the more clear you are with your higher self, the more at peace you are with your own inner self, the faster it comes. Now, number one is an intellectual number. It likes to be in charge. It likes to think. And a lot of us do this, not just number ones. We are in our head. I want this. This is what I want. I want to buy. Your higher self, your masters and guides just kick back and fold their arms and say, well, you go, girl. You know, you think you got it all? Okay, fine. And that's when we don't have it, because we think that the wrong way. There is another third book I'm recommending tonight, which I recommended in one of my other shows, called The Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. In that little book, it's about the size of my hand, in that little book, he has a 40-day prosperity program of this that teaches the spiritual concepts behind abundance, bringing flow to you, bringing to you what is for your highest good and greatest joy. I highly recommend that book. It's already on my blog. It's one of the earliest articles that I wrote on my blog. And do follow that. First of all, it'll give you a format to follow. It'll connect you to your higher self, to your soul, to the energy of cause and effect. What you put out, you get back. But if you put it out with doubt, well, all right, I'll think about this, but I'm not sure it's going to happen, and I don't know how it's going to happen, and doesn't work that way. No doubt. No, oh, I hope so, because I really need it for the mortgage and whatever. No, you get clear what you intend, and you let it go, and you say to Mother, Father, God, and the angelic beings, bring it to me however you wish. Well, however is for my highest good and greatest joy. You bring that to me. Money is a spiritual concept. It is an energy concept. What you think, you create. May your daily prayer be, today I am, present tense, safe, stable, and secure. And all my needs are met in a divine, abundant, perfect way, in perfect timing. I will have all that I need when I need it. And sometimes, folks, this is my daily prayer, it comes at the last minute. It becomes a test of faith and trust. Do you give up? Do you give up your control? Do you give up your control? And will you let us help you? Will you let us? Will you let us? Yes, yes, yes. And the clearer you are and the calmer you are about setting your intention and allowing it to come to you however it comes, all you have to do is have your eyes open and listen to your intuition and watch for the gentle signs. But it'll be there. If it is not there, then you're being protected. You're being protected. Sometimes we want things that are not necessarily for our highest good and greatest joy, and we might want it. But chocolate. I might want chocolate. Those wonderful peanut cluster nutty things. But it's not for my highest good and greatest joy. And so, doesn't come. I don't have it. All is divine, my sweet people. You are blessed. You are loved. You are nurtured. You are cared for. But you must love that first for yourself. Nobody else is going to give it to you. No other human can keep the stars in the sky. Only a higher being, that zero, that God force. I would love for you to go to my website, The Magical World of Numbers. Look over the black bar. look over numerology readings. Be in touch with me to do a lifetime reading blueprint. What's that all about, Elfie? Reading. Or a reading about what's happening for you, 15 into 15. Those are called current year readings. I am a medium. I love to work with the spirits who come in to my office for my clients. And you're welcome to request that also. We're all in the soup together. Always remember that karma is simply God's mercy saying, I love you so much that you have chosen to be a human again, go back to the scene of the crime, and make just different choices. And I love you, warts and all. Karma is not a bad thing. It is about choices, choices, choices. Listen to your intuition to guide you. Listen to your intuition to guide you. Listening is important. So listen to the trees and the water and the rain. Tune your ears to listening. Listen for the tiniest little sound, the birds. Train your soul to listen. And believe me, you will begin to hear the still, small voice of God within you that is guiding you. And all you have to do is follow. Mother, Father, God is the big time number one, the leader, the creative one, the one that has courage and strength that it wants to share with you. And so, until next time, I send you God's white light and His peace and His harmony, and know that I wish you all good things. And thank you so much for visiting with me one more time in the magical world of numbers. Thank you.